Do these ideas sound familiar? They're not looking hard enough. They're job snobs. They're lazy. They're all comments that have been made about people who are unemployed. But a new study says not only are these stereotypes untrue, they're so damaging they make it even harder for people to get back into work. If you've been unemployed, did the attitudes you encountered make a difference to your ability to get back into work? Head to Facebook and tell us how it played out for you. Professor Greg Marston is head of the School of Social Sciences at the University of Queensland. He specialises in the history of social policy in Australia. And Dr. Michelle Petery is a sociologist specialising in how policy affects people emotionally. She's also from the University of Queensland, and they're two of the authors of this new study. Greg, Michelle, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Michelle, where do these stereotypes crop up in Australia?
Yeah, look, they've been quite pervasive. We come across them in our political discourses, so a lot of our politicians are furthering these kinds of narratives in justifying our social policies. They're also often picked up in different parts of the media. And certainly the people that we spoke to who are unemployed and relying on welfare payments felt that these sorts of stereotypes were also really prominent in their day-to-day lives. So they experienced them just as they went around their lives and looked for work.
So it wasn't just that they were keenly aware that they may be subject to them, but they had actually experienced them.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there was really a perception that the way that the social security system was working meant that the whole policy logic was sort of governed by and structured by these assumptions. So the idea that they had personally done something wrong and that their unemployment was a function of their individual behaviours and choices rather than the result of other factors.
And Greg, have those views that the problem is personal rather than structural always been there, or have they become more common?
It certainly fluctuates. In the post-war period, when we had unemployment benefits, there was, I guess, a more respectful attitude to people on unemployment benefits. Certainly since the late 1990s, we've had a hardening of attitudes, at least on the part of politicians. If you look at the public, and the recent Australian Survey of Social Attitudes shows you two things. One is that people are broadly supportive of social welfare system in Australia, particularly health and education. However, at the same time, they hold negative attitudes towards those who receive welfare benefits. The only group that support or have a more sympathetic attitude to people on income support payments tend to be those with high levels of education and or personal exposure to the welfare system.
So can you draw a direct line between that shift in policy towards more of a sense of mutual obligation and the hardening of community attitudes? Is it that simple?
I guess it's in part political attitudes can be not reflective of community attitudes in terms of the political beliefs. You see that with climate change. I think that the governments can be out of step in terms of what people want. And if we look at the claims, for example, around increasing Newstart, there is now a chorus of support for increasing Newstart to $75 a week, including groups like the Business Council of Australia, which are not your usual kind of advocates for people on unemployment benefits or those in poverty.
I'm wondering when that shift occurred too, because you're saying in the post-war period it was much less of a hard attitude to the individuals on unemployment benefits. When did the change occur?
In terms of a time, I think it was 1999. The then Minister for Social Security, Jocelyn Newman, released a welfare reform paper, which she couched in terms of ending welfare dependency. You also had Tony Abbott start to use the term job snobs. And so what we started to do in that period was turn unemployment into the problem of the unemployed. And we started to focus on supply side solutions, which is essentially the people, rather than demand side solutions, which is job creation training. So we started to divest in terms of job creation and started to put all the emphasis on people's attitudes and, starting to take a fairly punitive and conditional approach to those on income support who now have to jump through all sorts of hoops just to retain their benefits.
There was a really interesting moment on Q&A last week, where Coalition MP Jason Falinski responded to a 62-year-old woman who had really struggled on Newstart. And he said, "We are a relatively high-income mobility nation with relatively low levels of income equality." Greg, is it true that relatively few people are struggling with unemployment? I mean, 5.2%, that's quite a low figure historically for Australia.
Yeah, I think that's two things about that. I mean, that's the official statistic. You only have to be working 1 hour a week to count as employed. Secondly, there's a high rate of underemployment. So if you add the 5% official unemployment rate with those that are underemployed, that is those who are in part-time work looking for more hours, that figure's more around 8%. So that's 13% of the population that either want work or want more work.
And Michelle, through your research, what did you find about the validity or otherwise of those stereotypes that Greg mentioned, the job snobs, the lazy, the kind of flawed individual that refuses to engage with work?
Yeah, look, we found no evidence to support claims that unemployed Australians would prefer not to work. In fact, we collected a huge amount of data that suggests exactly the opposite. So the vast majority of unemployed Australians really want to find suitable employment. They're flexible about the kinds of work they might do. They're open, at least in theory, to the possibility of relocating for a job opportunity. And they're spending huge amounts of time and effort really just trying to get a break, trying to find a job opportunity. And as you mentioned, we also found that the current welfare policies and the discourses that surround them are actually making things a lot harder for people who are looking for work.
So it's a big four-year study. How many people were involved, Michelle?
Yeah, so the study was what we in academia would call a mixed methods study. So that is, we used a few different research methods that allowed us to be really confident then about the accuracy of our conclusions as findings from different parts of the study supported and reinforced each other. There were really three main dimensions to the study. So first, we did a lot of policy analysis and looked at dominant discourses and policy narratives surrounding unemployment in Australia. Second, we did two large surveys. So one of them involved a sample of over 1,200 members of the Australian public, and the second around 700 unemployed job seekers specifically. And these two surveys allowed us to identify statistically significant differences between the lives of unemployed Australians and those of other citizens, and also to get a representative picture of what unemployed Australians are doing in their lives and in their job search. And then finally, we conducted in-depth interviews with 80 long-term unemployed job seekers. So that is with 80 people in urban and rural areas of Australia who had been unemployed and looking for work for at least 12 months. And I think this part of the study was really important because it allowed us to move beyond statistics and to really understand what it looks like and what it feels like to be an unemployed person in Australia today.
We're talking with Dr. Michelle Petery, who's a sociologist at the University of Queensland, and with us too is Professor Greg Marston, Professor of Social Policy and Head of the School of Social Sciences at the University of Queensland. Michelle, what did you find about the experience of living on Newstart? Because it does sound like your research found that people were desperate to avoid doing it.
Yeah, look, that's right. Living on unemployment benefits and negotiating Australia's welfare system is extremely difficult. There are possibly three things that I could talk about here. So perhaps if I just gesture towards those and you can let me know if you'd like me to expand at all. First, we found that our current social security policies are presenting serious financial difficulties for those who rely on these payments. So our benefit is extremely low, and just trying to survive on these payments is really difficult for the people that we were, including in our study.
And we have done a little bit about that on the program in recent times. I think a lot of our listeners are aware of those constraints. What are the other two things that you found?
Yeah. So second, we found that our current system requires benefit recipients to meet what are commonly referred to as mutual obligations in order to receive their payments. So our findings suggested that in some cases these obligations, so we're talking about things like meeting job search quotas and attending meetings with job service providers, in some cases these sorts of obligations are actually making it much harder for job seekers to find work, as complying with these kinds of obligations becomes a full-time job in and of itself. And then third, we found that the stigma that surrounds so-called welfare dependency in Australia has a really highly corrosive impact on people's social and emotional well-being. And we found that that in turn negatively impacts people's job search. So these very stereotypes, these orthodoxies that unemployed people don't want to work, are actually making things harder for people on the ground.
And did you find any specific impacts on people's mental health about the broad experience of being unemployed, particularly for a long period of time?
Yeah, look, we really did. Many of the participants in our study reported feelings of anxiety, depression, and worthlessness. And there's actually already a lot of psychological literature that points to the causal relationship that exists between unemployment and mental health deterioration. So it isn't only that having mental health concerns can cause unemployment or can contribute to unemployment, but that being unemployed is actually sort of a significant risk factor for developing these kinds of problems. What was really interesting in our study, I think, was that many of our interviewees reported that part of what made unemployment so emotionally difficult was the perception that other people were looking down at them and judging them. So these individuals consequently spent a huge amount of time and energy trying to manage their emotions and maintain some degree of mental health. So staying positive and presenting well to potential employers was made harder by this constant social messaging that being unemployed was somehow a moral failure on their part. And this sense of social stigma also had an impact on participants' relationships. So feelings of stigma and shame caused many interviewees to withdraw from their social circles, often just in an attempt to protect their dignity and their emotional well-being. And this is really concerning for a whole bunch of reasons. One of them being because we know from research around the world that people's social networks can actually play a really important role in helping people to find jobs. So if unemployed Australians are withdrawing from their social networks because they're experiencing so much stigma and shame in those spaces, that potentially has really significant ripple-on effects in terms of the job search experience and ability to find work.
I find that really interesting too. I mean, it is in one sense easy to see why these stereotypes get circulated politically, because they make it a little easier to deflect the need for action away from policy and onto the individual. But what is going on with the rest of us? Why doesn't our experience in the real world as the community help us be more empathetic and nuanced in our assessments?
Yeah, look, that's a good question. And I guess it's one that we didn't specifically address in our study. What Greg was discussing earlier, though, around the kinds of factors that can shape people's opinions is, I think, potentially instructive, though. So people who have had experience with this system and know what it's like to live on Newstart and to deal with the, the whole bureaucratic machine that is this welfare system, are likely to have a little bit more empathy for people in that situation. And I'm sure that a lot of us, if we know people ourselves who are unemployed and looking for work, possibly we'll have a bit more empathy around that as well. I think that when the media and the political discourses are quite emphatic in furthering these sorts of stereotypes, though, it sometimes can be a little bit harder to get past that.
Professor Greg Marsden, what are the real reasons then, if it's not these individuals, that people become unemployed and find it hard to come off benefits?
Yeah, I think that obviously the adequacy of the payment is itself an issue. I mean, contrary to popular belief, that people on very low rates of income support payments, it's a disabling force. It's not a motivating force in people's lives. They're just trying to get by. They're not going to be in a position to retrain, get interviews. They often don't have stable housing, access to stable food. So you've really got to address the adequacy of the payments. Two, you've got to look at the whole mismatch between skills and where the jobs are. This is a long-term investment on the part of employment services. And what we've done in the last two decades with employment services is generally assist people who are not that far from the labour market, that is short-term unemployed, into jobs. But the harder to help those on long-term in the situation of being long-term unemployed, that whole privatised employment services system really doesn't do much for them in getting them back into jobs. So we've got to look at longer-term solutions. We've got to look at post-employment when we do get people into placements to work with the employers to make sure those people have still got jobs. This is a whole much more broader and much more extensive package of wraparound support that's going to enable people back into the workforce. But we've got to start with the adequacy of payments. We've got to start with the respectful attitudes towards those unemployed, because as Michelle said, those stigmas are doing more harm than good.
And Greg, if we were to look even further back at trying to prevent future unemployment, what are some of the structural things we need to be looking at now so that our young people aren't moving into a world where it's really hard to get a job and really hard to get back into work if you do lose your job?
Yeah, I think that the whole uncertainty around what's happening with the labour market in light of automation is making these pathways much more difficult to predict. So universities, schools are going to have to rethink the sorts of skills that people are going to need, and they're probably more going to be the skills around heart rather than hand, as we say. So some of the sort of skills that people need in terms of negotiating difference, being good communicators, these are the sorts of skills that are going to be in much more demand as we face an uncertain future in the wake of automation.
So if we look at the graduate or post-school landscape for this generation, are the jobs there? Is it a mismatch between skills and jobs or a lack of jobs?
It's a lack of jobs. Certainly there are jobs, but they're jobs in terms of what people are being put from, I guess, unemployment benefits into work and is not the right match in many cases. I think we need to reinvest in the TAFE and VET sector because that transition point, not everyone needs to go to university to get a job. So I think we need to have that sector much more supported, as well as having a lifelong approach to learning and education, because people are going to move in and out of the workforce for a range of reasons, and we need to support people better than we do that at the moment, because what we tend to do is penalise people very heavily when they move out of a job into unemployment, because we don't have a social insurance system in this country like other nations do. So we put people into immediate poverty once they don't have work. So we need to make those transitions much smoother.
And Michelle, I guess a lot of people might have assumptions about who ends up unemployed. What did your research find about the demographics of unemployment in Australia?
Yeah, so look, certainly from the interviews we conducted, it was clear that any kind of generalisation or stereotype will be inadequate. We spoke to a huge variety of different people who, for a whole range of reasons, had found themselves unemployed. So for instance, we spoke to people who, I like the person who posed that question on Q&A the other day, were possibly approaching retirement age, had become retrenched and then found it really difficult to find work and possibly experienced some degree of age discrimination as they were looking to rejoin the workforce. At the other sort of end of the age bracket, we spoke to young people who perhaps were in their early 20s and they also were experiencing what they perceived to be a form of age discrimination as their shifts were given to younger workers who were, a little bit cheaper potentially, and a whole lot of people in between in all kinds of different situations. And I think that really demonstrated to us that it's hard to put somebody in a box and say this is what an unemployed person looks like, because all kinds of people for all kinds of different reasons can find themselves unemployed.
It's really interesting to hear about what the box looks like, though, and perhaps we can break down the sides a bit more. Thank you both for joining us on Life Matters today.
Thanks, Hilary.
Thanks very much.
Dr. Michelle Petery, a sociologist at the University of Queensland, and Professor Greg Marsden, Professor of Social Policy and Head of the School of Social Sciences at the University of Queensland.